We're beginning a brand new series that we've entitled Have a Heart for the Mission. And this series is going to go on for about 5 weeks. And in this series, we've got some surprises lined up. We've got some things happening. It's going to be a neat time. You're not going to want to miss a single one of these Sundays as we explore this concept, this idea of having a heart for the mission. Now, today, I heard there's some game happening later on today. We're going to take a little poll here, okay? If it is your preference that the team known as the Patriots win today, raise your hand. If it is your preference that the team known as the Rams win today, raise your hand. If it is your preference that both teams lose today, raise your hand. Wow, there we go. I can tell what you don't have a heart for today. And that's for either team in the Super Bowl. You know, when we talk about having a heart, that's used in many different ways. And the idea of having a heart is saying I'm passionate about something. I'm knowledgeable about something. I want to do something about this something. Some of us are passionate about sports. Some of us are passionate about family. Some of you are passionate about your careers, your hobbies. There's always something that we're passionate about. And when we're passionate about something, we want to do it. We want to be involved with it. We want to be, we look forward to it. Maybe you love the snow and the cold because that means you can go take your, I'm going to forget the name. What's the, snowmobile, that's right, your snowmobile out. Maybe there's a certain time of year like where you like to take that 1 week to go shoot a deer, right? You're passionate about that. Maybe you can't wait till football season starts back again and see what this new coach is going to do with the team, or maybe you're dreading it. But we all are passionate about something. And that's what we're going to be talking about is, do we have a heart? And if someone says, have a heart, they're saying, you know, think about this. Care about this. Do something about this. Grab a passion for this. And so at Focus Church, we're saying, we want to have a heart for the mission. We want to have a heart for the mission. Now, when we started Focus Church a couple years ago, we said that there's a lot of things that we could do as a church. There's a lot of things we could be about, a lot of causes, a lot of things we could be known for. But we really believed that God wanted us to only do a few things and to do them really well. And hence we get our name, Focus Church. And there's six focuses. And of the six focuses, there is one focus that we put above any other focus. And that focus is this. And if you've got a blank spot in your notes today, write this down. This is the major focus of what Focus Church is here for. And we say this, found people find lost people. It's our mission. Found people find lost people. It's our mission. This is our number one focus of what we are about as Focus Church. So someone says, so what's your church about? We find lost people. It's our mission. It's what we do. It's the most important thing that we could do. And so today, as we unpack this today, as we look at God's word for today, as we begin looking at this concept, we're going to ask the question, what is the mission? And we're going to find out from Jesus himself in God's word of what he said the mission is. So when we say have a heart for the mission, we should ask, what does that mean? If you came today looking for hope, looking for peace, purpose, for focus to your life, I've got some really good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And at the end of today's service, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope, and it'll change your life. Today could be the first day of it all being different. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles today to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. When you came in today, you should have received the bulletin, and in your bulletin, there are some message notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's fill in the blanks. There's scripture references there. And we really encourage you to take these notes to stay focused on the message of what we're hearing today, but also to take them later on this week and reread it. Look at it yourself. Pick a day. Maybe it's the middle of the week. Maybe you're going to pick Wednesday and say, the Wednesday's going to be a day. I'm going to pull out that piece of paper, and I'm going to reread what we heard from God's word on Sunday. But take time to do that. That's part of our learning process and part of our opportunity. We see, when we come and we hear from God's word on Sunday mornings, it's our opportunity to be challenged and changed. We believe that God doesn't want us to be stuck at one level. but that God has next steps for all of us. And we explored that, and we talked about this just last week, that we believe that there is a next level for everyone, that nobody arrives here at Focus Church, but that when you are following Jesus, there is a next step to take, just like there are steps to get up to this platform, that there is always a next step to take. But if we're not careful, our step can level out and become a platform, and we can be stuck and no longer grow. And so how do you know if you're growing in God? Because things change. Things change. You begin thinking differently. You begin acting differently. And that's how we know. So let's constantly look for our next level with God. We're looking today at Luke chapter 19. We're reading out of the New Living Translation. And to set up the story, we have Jesus. He's become pretty well known. He's been talking to people. He's been healing people. People are hearing and getting the news out that, hey, this Jesus guy exists. And it's just an amazing experience to get to meet him or get to see what he's doing or just to hear him talk and to teach. And there was one particular guy who heard about Jesus, and his name was Zacchaeus. And he was curious. He wanted to know, is it really true? Maybe I can see something, and maybe I could just see him. And he found out that Jesus was coming to his town, that Jesus was coming to his area. And so he found out where the route was going to be, where the crowds were going to come, where Jesus was going to go as he traveled through his town. And he said, I've got to figure out a way to see Jesus. And so we're picking up in verse 1, chapter 19. It says this: Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Let's pray. God, we give these next few moments to you. We ask that you would challenge us and change us, that you would speak to our hearts on a passion level and you speak to our minds on an intellectual level. Show us your word and what you have for us today. Help us have a heart for the mission. In Jesus' name we all said, amen, amen. If you're here last week, you heard me describe that my arm was in extreme pain, that I really didn't have use of my whole right arm. I wanted to give you just a quick update of what's going on with my arm. People have asked me, and they've been kind today, and say, so how are you doing? How's it going? Are you feeling any better? And the answer is no, not any better. A little dulled. I'm on some pain meds, but not any better. But I have some answers. You see, I went and saw the chiropractor 4 different times this week, and he said I was a crooked guy. He also said I was getting shorter, and he was helping me become taller again by fixing my spine. He said, one leg is shorter than the other. Let's fix that. You're kind of crooked and leaning. Let's fix that. It was awesome. But after the 4th visit, he said, you should be feeling better by now. And he described that you're actually in worse pain now. This doesn't make sense. He said, I've done everything I could do, but you need some help from a medical doctor. Of course, I would like to paraphrase it and say, you need some help from a real doctor. No slam on chiropractors, because he made me feel a lot better as far as movement goes. But the pain in my arm would not go away. It would wake me up. And finally, I was able to go see the doctor, and they took a lot of x-rays, and they chested out a bunch of things. And what they discovered was that because I have psoriatic arthritis, that I've got buildup of arthritis on my neck bones. And on one side, the lower side of my right neck, one of my vertebrae, where the nerves come out of the side, there's holes. And one of the holes is half the size of all the other holes. And the doctor, just looking at that, says, I believe we found the problem. I believe what's happening is it's potentially the arthritis closing in the bone where the hole where your nerves are supposed to go, and it's squeezing your nerve. and it's affecting your entire arm. The pain you're feeling in your shoulder, the pain you're feeling in your elbow, the pain you're feeling in your forearm, the pain you're feeling in the hand, the swelling, just the not being able to move, but not being able to be without pain. It says it's caused by one little thing. And this kind of blows my mind. Because I'm thinking, wait, how did this just all of a sudden happen? You know, what's going on? And how could all this pain that I would say the thing that hurts the most is my forearm, how could it be related to a little hole in my neck? So both figuratively and literally, I have a pain in the neck. But the thing is, and I'll be scheduled this week to get an MRI, and they'll be able to confirm actually what's going on, and then they can deal with it. And he gave me some drugs that would help, and there was a particular drug he gave me. He said, please don't take this Sunday morning, or else your church is in for a great ride. I was tempted. I was really tempted, but I didn't. I said, this could be fun, right? Yeah. Well, we'll find out some answers. We'll see what happens. But the thing that amazed me is that one little thing could affect a whole bunch of other things. You know, that's really what was happening when Jesus was on this planet. His presence on this planet was affecting a lot of things. People were hearing about him. People were being healed. People were hearing teachings about God in a way that they never heard before. All because of one thing, one reason. Jesus was here. Jesus was here. His presence on this planet was making a difference, and it was going all throughout, and so much that it touched this guy named Zach. We'll call him Zach. It's kind of easy than Zacchaeus. Touched this guy named Zach, and Zach was interested in, what is this guy really about? Why is the cause of everything I've been hearing from everybody? Now, Zach was not really a God-fearing guy. As a matter of fact, everyone hated him. He was a cheat. He had the worst job possible. You see, at this time, the Jewish people were under Roman occupation. They were conquered by another country. They had forces and soldiers there that kept a martial law and how things worked. And in this time, the Romans would tax and collect money to support their armies and support their kingdom from the people they conquered. And so they would require taxes to be collected from the Israelites. But the worst thing of all was that Israelites were volunteering to be the ones to collect the taxes. So an Israelite who was a tax collector was considered to be the lowest of the lowest people because they were selling out their own people. And the stories of Zach go like this, that when he was collecting money, that he would cheat people out of their money because he had the authority and the power to put people away for not paying. And so he would charge extra. He'd say, oh, you owe $100? Well, actually, your bill says $150, and if you can't pay $150, now I'm going to throw you in prison until you can pay. So he cheated people out of their money. So people hated tax collectors. They were considered the worst of the worst. But he wanted to find out, was this Jesus thing, what was it really all about? And he found out he was going to have the opportunity that Jesus was coming to his town, to Jericho, the one thing. He was hearing all the effects of the one thing, but he wanted to see for himself, what is this all about? You see, Jesus had one primary purpose, one primary mission for coming to this planet. Jesus came on a mission sent by God to make it possible for us to be in relationship with God again, to redeem mankind from the mess up that Adam and Eve did at the very beginning. This was Jesus' mission. He had to come to this planet. He had to live a perfect life, and he had to be sacrificed to pay the price for you and I. That is why he came to this planet. This was his mission. He came so he could give up his life. But just his presence of being on this planet affected a lot of different things. And it was that effect on this day that piqued the interest of a dude named Zach. You say, what is it? He was searching for something. He knew he was living a life that didn't honor God. He knew he was hated. He knew he was doing wrong, but he still knew he needed something, and it needed to be real. But what he didn't realize was that Jesus was also seeking him. Jesus knew when he started that day exactly what was going to happen in Jericho. He knew that he was going to see a guy named Zac. And as a matter of fact, we just read in scripture where Zacchaeus had climbed a tree so he could see, because he was a short guy like me. And he had to see over the crowd. And Jesus stopped and looked up to him, and he knew his name. He knew exactly who Zac was. He knew exactly what condition Zac's heart was in. He knew exactly what Zac needed. He knew Zac. You see, Jesus knows exactly who he's looking for. He knows you. He knows exactly where you are at. And he doesn't just know you. He knows everyone. He knows exactly where they're at. He knows you by name. He knows what you've been through. He knows what you've done. You see, and everybody started complaining. They're like, wait, Jesus is going to Zac's house? This doesn't make sense. How can he be such a religious dude and hang out with the worst possible guy? And doesn't he realize that the friends of the worst possible guy are also the worst possible people? They began having doubts about, who is this Jesus guy? Maybe he isn't so godly after all. This doesn't make sense. But Jesus knew exactly who he was talking to. He knew exactly whose home he was going to. And he knew exactly who was going to be there. And why? Because he was on mission. He went to Zac's house. He went there with the friends. He went there with Zac. And the Bible reveals, if you continue reading the passage in chapter 19, that Zac had a change of heart. He said, this day I'm going to follow you. My heart's going to change. As a matter of fact, all the people I've ever cheated, I'm going to return all their money, and I'm going to provide it with extra and for interest, and I'm going to reconcile everything that I've done wrong, because, wow, I need what you have. And the Bible describes that day that not only Zac was impacted, but his whole family was impacted. And that day, a life was changed. A family was changed. And Jesus spoke up about this in response to what Zacchaeus was saying. He said, heaven has come this day to this household. And in verse 10 of chapter 19, this is a scripture you want to remember. It's at the top of your notes. Jesus said, the Son of Man came to find lost people, to seek lost people, and to save them. And in this verse, we have the one mission, the one thing that Jesus is about. That day, a whole family was changed. A whole family tree was changed. And the impact and the ripple effects of the friends and the scene, the changed life in Zac and his family. We don't have it recorded in the scripture, but we can just imagine for a moment, can't you with me, of how the story of Zac's life being changed, how it affected other people. And who did it affect? The people who needed Jesus the most. Jesus was trying to say to everyone that day, and to you and to me, saying, there is one mission. I've got to find lost people. We've got to seek them. I'm here to save them. That's why I'm on this planet. There was a chain reaction that day, and lives were changed. And so, if you don't remember anything that we say today or what's going on, there's one thing I want you to remember. There's one thing I want you to ask yourself, and it's found in the box in your notes, and the question is this: do I have a heart for the mission? Do I have a heart for the mission? I might have a heart for sports, and I might have a heart for games or computers. I might have a heart for cars and mechanics. I might have a heart for woodworking, for shopping, for quilting, for whatever it is. But the question today is this, the one thing: do you have a heart for the mission? The mission that brought Jesus here, that had a chain reaction. At Focus Church, we believe our mission is to help people. That we are blessed that we have been found, but that means now we have a job to do. That we're supposed to be helping people find Jesus. And Jesus knows exactly who they are. He knows exactly where they've been. He knows exactly what has happened in their lives. But he wants us to be the beginning of the chain reaction, just like that day Zach and his family was the beginning of a chain reaction of many people coming to find God, he wants to do the same thing with you and with me. And the reaches of this church family should reach out into Sun Prairie and to East Dane County, and we should be affecting people for Jesus. I said affect, not infect. Although, hey, there's a case for either word, though. But we're not just supposed to be local thinking. We've got to think beyond our borders. We've got to think that this was something that Jesus came to this planet. He didn't just come for Wisconsin. He didn't just come for Sun Prairie. He came for everyone on this planet. And when he talks to us and he gives us a mission, he says, hey, I was on mission. He's like, Focus Church, I want you to be on mission. That focus that you have of found people, find lost people, it's your mission. It's our mission. Then we've got to have reach farther. We've got to have a heart that's bigger. And that's why we partner with people that God's called to reach people in other countries. That's why we're sending a team to Guatemala here in a few months. That's why we have missionaries and why we do. This is what we do. This is the most important thing that we can do. It doesn't matter all the fun stuff. This is the most important thing of people finding God. Now, we all don't have the ability to go everywhere and share the good news of Jesus. We don't have the ability to just drop what we're doing and head to another country and say, hey, this is what Jesus told us to do. But what we do have the ability to do is to team up with somebody who is called by God to go somewhere else. Last year, we got to meet some missionaries, Darren and Heidi Walker. They are missionaries to Guatemala. And they are doing an outstanding work there in changing the next generation of Guatemala. They're making an impact, a big change. They are affecting lives. And they are driven by the one thing. One thing. They have a heart for the mission. And today, we're going to hear about that heart live over video chat with the Walkers in Guatemala, and they're going to speak to us from where they're at and what they're doing. So if you'll give me a second, I got to prepare the computer here. We're going to call up the Walkers, and they've got something to share with us about having a heart for the mission.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear us?
We can. We just got to fix the screen here. Do you guys see them?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to fix where they can see us, but we got to change from landscape mode to full screen. I've kind of messed this up. Let me try again here.
Okay. All right.
There we go. And
how's it going?
Going good. Going good.
Awesome.
So, Darren and Heidi, you are there in Guatemala, and you've got our undivided attention. We're using technology to connect over 1,000 miles away, and we would just like to hear for the next few moments kind of what is your guys' heart for the mission. What are you doing there in Guatemala?
Well, first of all, we want to say thank you to Focus Church for supporting us on a monthly basis and helping us to reach the next generation of children in Guatemala. And so Heidi, she's going to share a little bit of our vision and what we do, and we'll go back and forth.
So we work with a ministry called Child Hope, and just to clarify what that is, it's a ministry that's focused on three things. The three things are education, transformation, and
compassion.
I was going to say that and it sounded funny to me. I don't know why. But so the education part is a big part here in Guatemala because only 3 out of 10 kids finish the sixth grade. And most of you may know that there's an extreme poverty issue in the third world countries. And so this ministry is trying to help them break that cycle of poverty by giving them a chance to learn. But the transformation part comes in, which is the most important, because we believe that their lives need to be transformed mm-hmm. and that they have a relationship with Jesus. So they're getting an education that can benefit them, but they also get Christ as part of their education. And then compassion is where we come in and do whatever God allows us to do. It might be water filters so they have clean water. It might be providing them shoes so that they can have decent shoes to wear. Very practical side of the ministry, and also medical, dental, and maybe it's just helping a kid get to the doctor when they're sick. And so that's the compassion side of it. And so this ministry is a sponsorship-based ministry where people like yourselves invest in kids, and then we are the liaison between you guys and the people that support kids here so that they can get the things that they need.
Cool. We're excited because you guys have chosen us to come down and work with this coming year in April. And so we have awesome plans for the team that's coming down. Have a huge vision. One of the things that we've been doing is we've been working on three construction projects. One we finished. The other one is a school in the Capitol. That is exploding with growth. It's right here in the city, the capital city of Guatemala City. When we started at the school and church, each school has a church, they had 89 students, and they were going under, and so they didn't know what they were going to do with their school. And so we came in, and we saw some needs, and so we started working in this school. We put a third level on the school. And just in a couple years, the school has gone from 89 students to 234 students. And so we're seeing a lot of growth in this school. And so one of the things that we're wanting to do is we want to make this school as if it were brand new. It's been around for 29 years. And so when you guys come in, we are going to do an extreme school makeover. It's going to be awesome. We're going to provide desk for the new desk for the school. We will be painting it. Right now, we're finishing up the stucco. And so the whole school is going to have really nice walls and stucco. And so we're going to be painting it, doing desk. We'll be doing children's evangelism. And we're going to help that school grow. The idea is that it grows to 350 students. And so our goal is to get to 350 in the next couple years. You guys are going to be a huge part in helping us do that. And so that's just kind of the vision for the team. Do you want to share anything, babe?
Well, I was just going to, I'm going to let Darren answer why we do what we do. Like, why do we have a heart to do what we do? But I just want to share a quick testimony about a student that he wasn't saved and he went to a childhood school in the Capitol, which is another school. And he learned about Christ in that school, and he is now the director of that school. So that's just a testimony of how God uses this ministry and these opportunities to change their life and to make them the next leaders in the next generation. So a lot of what we do is focused on reaching the generations, and we just are starting a Bible club that's actually launching tomorrow that is going to be focusing on the 12 to about 16-year-old group of kids to reach them, to grow future leaders for the school and the communities where they are. So yeah. Why do we do what we do, Darren?
All right. So we were normal people, you know, just working in the church. And in fact, we were associate pastors at a church in Oregon. And a missionary came and he spoke about missions. And we felt a call to do that. Not everyone maybe would feel the call to go leave your country and go to another country where you don't have all of the comforts and although it is 70 degrees here right now. I hate to say that because I know you guys are in cold weather, but so there are some comforts that you get by living a little further down south. But at the same time, you leave your mom and dad, you leave your family, you leave your country, you leave your culture, and your language all behind in the United States, even though we have some of that. You know, we brought our culture obviously here, but you have to learn a new culture. and a new language. And that takes a lot of, to be honest with you, a lot of sacrifice. Even economically, we quit our jobs. Heidi was doing real estate and I was working in a church and working at a bank. And so you leave all that. And the reason why we did it is because we have a heart for the world, a heart for people to know Jesus Christ. And we believe that if we can reach people and we can change this next generation, that we could possibly change this country in Guatemala and see God do great and mighty things. And we're seeing an explosion of growth in Guatemala. We're building a school for 500 students, about 2.5 hours from where we live right now. And honestly, we're trying to keep up with God and his vision and what he's doing. And so that's why we do it. We leave it all because we have a heart to see people know Jesus Christ.
If you guys have some questions, I think we could answer some questions.
It's a rare opportunity we get to do something this cool, to talk to our missionaries who are actually on the field, who are doing what they're called to do. They're showing that they have this heart for a mission. But we're going to take advantage just for a moment. Is there anybody who has a dying question that you'd wish to ask them? They're in Guatemala. They've given up everything, but they're doing something amazing for God. Any question? Someone have a question? Got a question here.
How long have you been there?
How long have you been in Guatemala?
So we've served in Guatemala for 5 years, and we've been missionaries for 11 years. But we've been in Guatemala for 5 years.
Okay. Someone else. Oh, right back there in the back. Yes.
How do you handle
or do you handle any medical emergency, such as an allergy reaction? For them or for people there? So the question is, how do you guys deal with medical emergencies there in Guatemala for you guys there or for people that would go there? How does that work? Because you're not in America anymore. You're not in our healthcare system anymore.
So we have great hospitals here we go straight in. They're private hospitals. A lot of the country is social medicine, but there are some private hospitals that you can go to. And so you would probably not go in an ambulance. You'd probably just take off in your vehicle and go straight to that hospital. There's a couple of them here in the capital because the ambulances don't have quite the response time that they would in the United States.
Okay. How safe is it there in Guatemala?
I think that safe is a hard term to use, even in the U.S. today, where you just have random things that happen. But for us personally, you know, we don't feel unsafe, but everything is walled in. You have razor wire on your walls. So in where we work and serve, usually you go inside of a metal door and it closes. So the only people that can get in are those that have a key. So that part of the safety is how we are safe where we go and work. And obviously you have to go to and from one place to another. And so we just are cautious, but, it's just like any big city. The city of Guatemala, is 8 million people. So, you know, that there's more issues, the bigger the city. So there's certain areas where you just don't go there. And, and obviously we work with people that live in some of those areas, but we go with caution and we go during the day and not at night.
Yeah, we don't travel at night. So, and I mean, in the city we do because there's lighting, but like we don't take trips at nighttime.
And if I remember correctly, you guys live in a barricaded place with guard dogs as well as with armed security guards to your neighborhood, right?
Right.
So we live right outside they call it a guardita, which is a guard shack with two guards. And then they check anyone coming into our area. We have razor wire all around the compound. And we have an awesome German Shepherd who won't be too friendly if you try to break in. So,
any other questions? Right here.
So you say that you just knew that you have a heart for the world, but like, what was the moment like when you decided to, you know, change your life forever? Like, how did you know?
Could you hear that? Do you want me to repeat that?
I felt like God was asking me to do missions at 9 years old, which was a long time ago. And I think that for me, you know, it was confirmation after confirmation. And it says that the Lord directs our steps. And so he was working on Darren's heart for a very long time. And
thanks, babe.
Well, sorry. But anyway, he kind of directs your steps. And the missionary was just kind of that next step that encouraged people to respond to that. And so once we knew we had to do it, then we could have ran the other direction like Jonah, you know, and some people do that. But we felt like that it was the time to make that decision. So we started the application process. So it's kind of like you just know you need to do something. And even when your parents don't tell you to do it and you know you need to do something and you could secretly not do it, but it's just surrendering. It's surrendering to do what God's asked you to do. And it wasn't an audible voice. It was God using someone else to tug at our heart to make the decision to make the application to become missionaries.
So I remember sitting at a table with a missionary, and God had been stirring in my heart, you know, to go and do missions. And so I was sitting there talking to the guy, and he said, you know, you lose half your ability to learn a language from 30 to 40. And I was like, really? And so at that point, that kind of put a fire under me to go, man, I need to get on this if I'm going to do this, right? And so, and actually, I speak really good Spanish now. But I think it happens in steps. I believe that, one, you get a heart for your community where you're at. They're in Sun Prairie, you know, you get a heart for your coworkers. You say, you know what, I want to, in my finances, I'm gonna show my heart to God by helping fund and initiate things that maybe have never been done before. So I think God starts working in phases with us sometimes. And so the more we surrender, the more we get a heart for God, and the more we get a heart for God, the more he's able to work through us, because it's not us technically we're doing work here, but it's God working through us. And the more we get done is actually, a lot of people are like, man, you guys are doing so much stuff. And what I want to tell them is we have an awesome team of people that back us in the States, all over the United States. We have people, individuals, churches, just like you guys that are backing us. And so we're really your hands extended. And so it might not be going foreign field, but it might be, though. And so you have to be open to God and allow him to talk to you.
We'll just do just one more question here. We'll get Ryan.
You've been doing this for 11 years. Where else have you been, and how did you choose Guatemala?
So our first time out, we were in Mexico, in the west, northwest coast of Mexico, when the drug cartel was kind of crazy going at it there. And we didn't leave there because of that. But when we came back to the States after the first term, which is usually 4 years, the first time it was 3, God was just stirring in our heart that there would be change. And so we met with the leader of the Ministry for Child Hope and just talked to him about what some of their needs were. And they opened the door to us to serve in Guatemala. So they work in 21 countries, but they had a need here in Guatemala. And we knew that it was God opening that door. While we were in Mexico, I actually got my master's in education, which is a huge part of Child Hope. And God knew that I was going to be able to use that in this ministry. And so it was just like Karen said, in phases, God led us to Guatemala. And he confirmed it in many ways. Darren can share. On a visit, we did like a vision trip to visit Guatemala before we officially decided what God spoke to him.
Yeah, I feel like there was a little boy who was shining shoes, and so he was shining my shoes at the market, and Heidi's shoes, and her father came on that trip with us. And I felt like the Lord say, if this were your boy, what would you do? And because he was a street kid, very, very dirty, working for a little bit of money, shining shoes. And I told God I'd work 24/7 to make sure my kids weren't on the streets, and my little conversation in my mind with God. And, I feel like the Lord say, that's the way I want you to work for Guatemala and their kids. And so that was a defining That was me getting a confirmation on when we came down for the trip.
Well, Darren and Heidi, thank you so much for meeting with us today. Before we finish this video call, we want to pray for you guys. We want to pray that that God continues to use this heart for the mission that He's put in you guys, and it's evident in the way you're talking and the things you're doing and your lifestyle, and that's an amazing thing and an amazing example to us. And we're proud of you guys. We're thankful for you guys. We're a part of the team together. You guys are on the front lines, but we're the support base back here, and we're glad to be with you. But we would like to pray with you before we go. So I would just encourage you that as I pray, that you guys pray too. That even take a hand, just reach out to Him. I believe that God can work through telecommunications. That even though we're physically a lot of miles away, that God in a moment can do something amazing. And so let's pray together. God, we thank you for the walkers. We thank you for the journey that you've had them on, how they have revealed to us even today how their heart for the mission has grown in phases and in steps. And God, I pray that continues to happen, God, as they have sacrificed so much to do what you've called them to do. God, help us to be the best support base that we can be to support the mission, to have a heart for the mission. Lord, as they are on the front lines, Lord, whatever they have need of, God, I pray that you would provide for their needs. Lord, I pray that you would provide for their safety and protection. God, as you give them vision and creativity to do new things that have never been thought of or heard of, to reach more kids for you. God, we pray that they are given the means to do so. Lord, to have the faith, that their faith would grow to be able to step out and do even more. God, I pray that each child who is in one of these 22 schools, Lord, that their lives are changed forever, and that would be the moment, the chain reaction for whole families being changed, for whole villages and cities being changed, Lord, for a whole country to be changed in a generation. God, we believe that you are doing something amazing in Guatemala. And God, I pray that for all the sacrifice, for all the pain, and for all the heartache that the Walker family goes through to do what you called them to do, God, I pray that you bless them 10 times over. Lord, that you honor their faithfulness, that you honor their sacrifice, that you honor their faith in you. And in doing this, their heart for the mission. God, as we're presented with their model and their example, God, may you grow our hearts for the mission. Will you change and challenge us? Help us to be all that we can do, for all that we have access to, for all that we are able to do more for the mission. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Darren. Thank you, Heidi. We can't
thank
wait to
you
see
guys.
You guys.
Thank you, Focus Church. We really appreciate you guys.
You all say bye? Yeah. You saw yourself there, right? What a unique opportunity. I don't know if you could have been in this room and not been impacted about what we are a part of and who we are, that we have to grow our hearts for the mission. And we're going to be challenged over the next 5 weeks for this. And so I want you to close your eyes right now as we wrap up our service, as we finish for the day. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Ask yourself, where is my heart? Is my heart for the mission? Do I have a heart for the mission? And if I feel God prompting me, what am I doing about it? And we believe that God works in different people in different ways, and our response to that will look different from the person next to us, but all of us should be doing something. This is putting our faith into action, and maybe God's calling you to step up something. Maybe it's realizing, like what they said, that it starts local, it starts with the passion, it starts with the people God's placed in your life. Maybe you're in this room and you're hearing the story of the walkers, and what you are experiencing and what you are feeling is that, wow, maybe I'm supposed to go. Maybe I'm supposed to do something. Maybe I'm supposed to give it all. We have proof in the walkers that God's real, that God is doing something, that we are not isolated in our faith here. It's not just this own personal thing, but this is a global thing. But it all starts with the one thing, and that's the mission. So God, we pray today. We pray, God, that you would move us, that you would change us, that you would challenge us, God, that our hearts would be towards the mission. Lord, that our heart would grow towards the mission. God, we are asking ourselves and we're asking you to show us how can we have more of a heart for the mission. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts and minds right now, that you would show people exactly where they're at and what you have. Reveal part of your plan. God, it says that you guide our steps, that you know our future, that you have a plan and you have a purpose for us. You bring us focus to our lives. You bring this focus. And God, I pray that you begin opening up that window just to shed light on what you have for each of us. And I know that's different for each person, but God, I pray that you start working in a way that people would say, remember that day when we had the heart thing at Focus Church and we got to hear those missionaries from that other country talk and share about their heart for the mission. That was the day that God did something in me. And who knows how many years from now that you'll be the one inspiring another generation to have a heart for the mission for someone else, somewhere else. So God, challenge us today to grow in our heart for the mission. In Jesus' name. And while we still have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me just say this. That maybe you came in today and you didn't really know why you were coming here. You didn't know what you were getting yourself into, but you knew that you were supposed to be here. You've been looking for something in your life. Let me tell you what that something is. You've been looking for God. You've been looking for hope. You've been looking for purpose. You've been looking for focus to your life. And we try to think that we can do it all ourselves, that we control our own destiny, that if we're just good enough, smart enough, or we work hard enough, that it'll all work out. But that's not how it's designed. You will still be empty. You will still not be fulfilled. Because that is not possible without a relationship with God Himself. Every person born on this planet is born with a curse, thanks to Adam and Eve and the original sin that separated them from God. And God declared that each person born would be born with a destiny to live life, not just this life, but life beyond, apart from God. That there'll be something missing. But this wasn't what God wanted to stay the same, but He came up with the plan. He had a heart for us. And He knew that somebody would have to pay the price for everything that we've done wrong or will do wrong. But in order for someone to do that, they had to have no wrong themselves. The Bible describes in John chapter 3 that God loved you so much that He sent His Son to pay the price for you. He said, if you believe in Him, you will not spend all of eternity apart from Him, but that you will have life everlasting with Him. And He did not send Jesus to condemn us or to show us how bad we are, but He sent Jesus so that through Jesus, we could be saved. That was the mission and why Jesus came, so that you could know God, so that you can have a relationship with God. And it starts with one decision. It starts with accepting. It's saying, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. I want you in charge of my life. I believe that you love me so much that you sent your Son to pay the price for me, and I accept that today. I want to live for you. I want to stop trying to drive my own life, but I'm going to give you the wheel. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be challenged, and I'm going to change. But it starts with one decision, and that decision can be today. So if you would say, Pastor, that's me. Today, I want to make that decision. Let me know right now by just raising your hand. Let me pray for you. Thank you. We're going to all pray together. I'm going to invite you to pray, repeating after me. This is the prayer of decision, the beginning of day one. Let's pray. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I need you in charge of my life. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son, Jesus, to pay the price for me. I give you my life today. Give me hope. Give me a future. Bring purpose and focus to my life. I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.